Welcome back to Dateline Washington. This is the Radio America Network. I'm Greg Corumbus. Thanks for being with us. Time now for a look at Wednesday's headlines. And on Earth Day 2009, President Obama making a pitch for conservation, alternative energy, and new green jobs. The president was visiting a converted wind power manufacturing plant in Newton, Iowa for the occasion today and argued that a shift to alternative energy must not lose its current momentum.
There's a lot of talk of action when oil prices skyrocket like they did last summer, and everybody says we got to do something about energy independence, but then it slips from the radar when oil prices start falling like they have recently.
The president warned moving the nation toward renewable energy will not be easy and stressed there are no silver bullets. Momentum on renewable energy has slowed on Capitol Hill amid growing skepticism among conservative Republicans and Democrats from coal-producing states. Obama noted the massive economic stimulus he signed in February includes a hefty investment in alternative energy. He says right now, less than 3% of our electricity comes through renewable energy sources like wind and solar, and he says we can no longer delay an aggressive shift in that direction.
So on this Earth Day, it is time for us to lay a new foundation for economic growth by beginning a new era of energy exploration in America.
But as you just heard in the interview I conducted with Brian Johnson of Americans for Tax Reform, that new agenda, that new vision forward could mean some of the largest tax increases we've ever seen in America, as high as $10,000 per family if the administration gets its way. Meanwhile, senators on Earth Day probing global climate change, opening a hearing, Massachusetts Democrat John Kerry, the chairman of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee, said the U.S. has been on the sidelines for too long on moving toward curbing global warming. Kerry argued that the U.S. must assume an aggressive leadership role in the world. House Democrats are pushing legislation on climate change that they hope to get passed by Memorial Day. Republican critics argue that climate change legislation may harm business and could be the wrong thing to do in a deepening recession. Many Democrats, though, say we need to pass the cap-and-trade bill in order to give our voice credibility on the world stage. Speaking of the world stage, Secretary of State Hillary Clinton says Pakistan poses a mortal threat to the security of this country and other nations. Taliban insurgents and nuclear-armed Pakistan have now seized control of a northwest district just 70 miles from that country's capital. Speaking at a House hearing today, Clinton said these kinds of advances may indicate the Taliban and other terrorist groups want to overthrow Pakistan's government. A government official in the northwest region said the move violates a controversial peace accord reached last week between the Pakistani government and the militants. U.S. officials have serious concerns that this advance indicates the Pakistani government's recent concessions may have only emboldened the Taliban to expand their reach. The Taliban imposed strict Islamic Sharia law in Pakistan's Swat Valley earlier in the year. Crippling sanctions are being threatened against Iran by the U.S. if the Iranians do not halt their nuclear program. Secretary of State Clinton, again making those comments before testimony before the House Foreign Affairs Committee, she said she has no illusions about how difficult it will be to engage Tehran with positive results. The comments by Clinton follow statements by Iran that it believes disputes with the West can be resolved. However, the Islamist nation was clear that it would continue to pursue nuclear development. Iran has continually rejected calls to end its nuclear pursuits, in particular enriching uranium, which can have both civilian and military uses. Clinton also commented on the case of a jailed Iranian-American journalist in Iran, saying Roxana Saberi should be freed. She also said Saberi is being held, quote, in a terribly unfair, unprecedented, unjustified way. Domestically now, most bailed-out banks could have avoided the need for government help if they hadn't paid generous dividends and bought back stock in recent years. That's the analysis of SNL Financial, a firm that researches and gathers data about the financial industry. According to the company, 13 of 25 banks that received TARP funds paid out more money in the form of dividends and buybacks than they received in emergency financial assistance. That includes Bank of America, J.P. Morgan Chase, M&T Bank Corp., and U.S. Bank Corp. The analyst said that any value returned to shareholders was eventually destroyed by the plunge in banking stocks. Michigan's governor is appealing to Chrysler's lenders to help the automaker avoid bankruptcy by returning to the bargaining table with a new offer to reduce debt. With just a week left before the government's deadline to submit restructuring plans, Michigan's Jennifer Granholm said she was deeply disappointed with the offer Chrysler's secured lenders presented to the Treasury. Those lenders include J.P. Morgan Chase, Citigroup, Morgan Stanley, and Goldman Sachs, among others. Granholm said those lead banks have an obligation to do everything they can to help restructure Chrysler. Since they have received over $90 billion from the federal government, bad news at GM as well. Unless there are major compromises, GM reportedly will not be able to make a $1 billion payment to its bondholders by a June 1st deadline. Quickly on Wall Street, the Dow Jones off 83 points to 78.87. The S&P 500 losing 7 to close at 844. Only the NASDAQ was a little bit higher, up 2 points to 16.46. Oil was up 30 cents to $48.85 a barrel. Still ahead on Dateline Washington, the Pig Book 2009. We'll also check in with Wendy Wright of Concerned Women for America about the Plan B pill, as well as the scorn heaped upon Miss California for her answer on marriage at the pageant over the weekend. And we'll speak with David Gardenstein Ross about the situation in Pakistan. Stay tuned.